Well, good morning, everyone. How is everyone today? Good. Good. Or not so good. Blah. I do expect honest answers. We're in church after all. Sorry? Great. Great. Oh, good. I've lost my remote. Where did I put this? Sorry? Is my remote down there? The remote for the projector? Oh, it is. Sweet. Thanks, Tom. You're helping me out, man. All right. Well, as you guys know by now, we're coming to our last talk on the series that we've been doing on discipleship. And I'd just like to ask, as an opening sort of thing to this talk, was there anything that has sort of been said or talked about over the last sort of 5 weeks that may have stood out to you, that may have been highlighted in your mind that you'd like to share on discipleship, if you can remember that far back? I mean, I hope you can at least remember last week. But yeah, I was just wondering if anyone had any thoughts at all. Doesn't matter if you don't. I'm happy to stand here in silence for about 30 seconds. But if you do, now's your chance. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I won't wait 30 seconds. That's answer enough, I think. We come now to the theme of discipleship and the inner life. The inner life. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean to you, the inner life? What are the thoughts that going through your head right now as you sort of think about your inner life? And think about it in terms of discipleship, in terms of the readings that we've just had, the skits that have just been skitted, played. What does the inner life mean? Over the last few weeks, we've looked at discipleship in walking with Jesus, which Bill opened up for us, and then being students of Christ, being people on a mission, and last week with Chris, our responsibility of building the kingdom. And now we look to the inner life. On reflecting on prayer and the inner life, an unknown author wrote this. He says, "It's strange that while praying, we seldom ask for a change of character, but always a change of circumstance. We seldom pray for a change of character, but always a change of circumstance." And I think that that sums up pretty neatly where I want to go with this topic of the inner life. Because when I hear the term the inner life, I think of our character. All that stuff inside of us, all that stuff inside of us that we keep hidden, that nobody else sees, that we know, all that sort of stuff that makes up who you are and makes up who I am. And when I hear of the topic discipleship and the inner life, I think our character needs to become a disciple of Jesus. And just as we've learned over the last few weeks as this series has gone by, that we need to take action in becoming a disciple of Jesus. So, too, we also need to take action in bringing our character to become a disciple of Jesus. Or better yet, to allow our character, through the power of Jesus, to become his disciple. We see in Psalm 1, which I'm sure you'll agree, is a pretty take-no-prisoners kind of passage, what God wants of his disciples. If you still have your Bibles open, please read with me as I read just the first two verses of Psalm 1. Goes like this. "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law they meditate day and night." In another way, verse 2, "Love God's teachings and think about them day and night." How many of us can claim that we do that? How many of us read this verse just now and said, "Oh my goodness, what the heck? How could I ever do that?" Love God's teachings and think about them day and night. Some of us might be able to say, yeah, sure, I love God's teachings. But how many of us think about them day and night? How many of us even have the practice of daily devotions? How many of us sitting here this morning can say that we have opened our Bible in the last week, that we have read it, and not just read it, but also reflected upon it, setting apart a portion of our day to spend with God? How many of us can say that, let alone spend every waking moment thinking about God and what He has taught us on how to live? It's a hard one, but it's also a critical, it's a critical idea to our discipleship of the inner life. If we want to change, if we want to be more like Jesus, then we need to spend time with Him. We need to know what He's like, we need to know how He lived, and we need to know how He wants us to live in turn. It's plain and simple. And if anyone thinks that you can be a disciple of Jesus without spending time with Him, then I say that that's foolish. No one can be a disciple of Jesus, no one can know God without spending time with Him. How much time are we spending with God each week? How much time are we giving Him? In the midst of meetings, in the midst of weekly agendas, in the midst of schoolwork, in the midst of hanging out with friends, reading books, for me, movies. Is God important enough to us? It's hard for me, and I constantly hear the Holy Spirit going, hey, Garrett, it's time to take some time out for me. And I'm just like, no, Lord, I've got work to do. I've got youth group this Friday night. I've got the youth service coming up. I need to work. The next day, Garrett, it's time to spend 10 minutes. Pick up your Bible. Read your Bible. No, Lord, I've got friends coming over soon, and I'm really wanting to get through this book before my friends come around, so I'm just going to sort of concentrate on that for now. Garrett, it's time to spend just 5 minutes with me. Pray. Talk to me. No, God, I'm tired. I've been out all night, and, you know, I'm preaching tomorrow. I don't have time. I'm sure that's a conversation you've had as well. We have so many things going on that we shut out the voice of God. And every time we choose something over God, those things become bigger and bigger while God shrinks. I wonder what change would be like. I wonder what would happen if we chose God over those things. Would His importance in our lives grow steadily as the world shrinks if we choose Him? Would that test seem less important if we knew that God is God and He is with you in that exam room? Would those feelings of lust and anger or rejection, would they seem less important when we accept that God is number one in our life? I dare to think so. I dare to think so, and I hope you will too. I ask you guys to listen to me. We need to spend time with God every day. And we will know the change in our lives. We will know that we are true disciples of Jesus when inside where it counts, when we realize that we not only love God's teachings, but we are constantly thinking about them, being reminded by them as God grows larger and larger in our life and the things of the world shrink beside Him. We will know that we are disciples of Jesus when we find ourselves giving up time to spend with God, giving up those valuable minutes or hours to spend with God. And we'll begin to know the fruit of it by finding that instead of reigning frustration in our lives, instead of confusion about what things are worthwhile, instead of mounting frustration and anxiety as our minds are pulled in every direction, we find ourselves remembering who God is and going to Him with our troubles as soon as we name them. And the peace that comes from that is astounding. One of the key ways of spending time with God is by praying, regular, sincere prayers. Do we take time to talk with God? And like the skit of the Lord's Prayer, not just talking, but actually giving Him time to talk back. Do we listen? That's a hard question to ask. Do we listen to God? I think that for many of us, we've forgotten how to listen. I forget all the time. At one point, I used to take whole days sometimes to spend listening to God. That hasn't happened in a long time. Do we need to remember how to listen? It would be a nice change, wouldn't it, when one day we get up and go to pray, but instead of having lists of requests and lists of things to say, we go with nothing and just listen. Prayer can also be a communal thing. It can be a big group thing, which is important. But it can and should always be a personal thing. In fact, prayer, though with others, is important. We shouldn't forget how personal it is. Because it doesn't stop being personal. Our prayers should reflect and match our hearts, our motives and desires. Selwyn Hughes says that... Ooh, that was cool, huh? That's what I can do with my Mac. I like it. Chris made me change it to PowerPoint at the Station Street thing, and it didn't do that. Anyway, enough showing off. Selwyn Hughes says that we pray with our lives as well as with our lips. And whenever our lives correspond with what our lips say, then the heavens stand ready to give us what we ask. Whenever our lives correspond with what our lips say, then the heavens stand ready to give us what we ask. This is a vital part of prayer. For as the popular song goes, you search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. We can't fool God. Are you unsure of why your prayers aren't getting answered? Do you think that God may be ignoring you? Do you think that He's not listening? What are you praying for? Does it correspond with what's in your heart? Because that's what God's seeing. He's not hearing your voice. He's seeing your heart. Does it correspond with how you live? He spent an entire life teaching us how to live. Don't tell me that's not important to God. Are our prayers sincere? You see, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus isn't just giving us words to say. He's giving us an attitude which we need to adopt. If we want to be disciples of Jesus on the inside, where it counts, we need to be disciples of prayer. An evangelist by the name of Frank Loebach said that only those who pray touch God. I'd like to take it one step further and saying that only those who pray sincerely from their hearts are true disciples of God. No pretending, no hiding, only open honesty. An honesty that will touch God and a raw openness that will allow Him to touch you. And Jesus goes on to say, as He's talking about prayer, continue to ask. Like the annoying neighbor, persistency in our hearts and our prayers show us to be committed and truly value the answer that is given. And He tells us further on that God's answer is always good, that they are always right, for He knows how to give good gifts. And my guess is that if our motives are right, if our hearts are in the right place, we will see the rightness of God's answers, whether or not they're the ones that we were looking for in the first place. If you take nothing from this morning, please take these two things. Please take these two things. If we want to be disciples of Jesus on the inside, we need to become disciples of prayer. Only those who pray with all of themselves Only those who pray sincerely from their hearts are true disciples of God. Because there is no pretending, no hiding, only honesty and openness that will touch God and allow Him to touch you. The second thing, listen. We need to spend time with God every day. And we will know the change in our lives. We will know that we are truly disciples of Jesus inside where it matters when we realize that we are not only loving God's teachings, but thinking about them continually, being reminded about them as God in our life grows bigger and bigger as those other important things shrink beside Him. Let God grow bigger and bigger in your life. Choose Him over those things that are distracting you. Choose Him over those other things in your life, and you will see Him grow bigger and bigger. You don't think God is a big God? Start choosing Him, and you will see different. Let me pray. Father, it's so hard to find time to spend with You, let alone be inspired to spend time with You. God, we get away so easily with wearing a mask and getting into the daily rituals or the weekly rituals, as it may be, concerning church. And we forget that our relationship with You is deeply personal. We forget that You see right to our hearts. Father, we ask that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, change us. That You would melt us so that we are ready to be formed and made renew. Father, please change us, that we might choose You, and in so doing, have You grow so big in our lives that we can see nothing else. Amen.